1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And on June the 11th, we'll be in Tucson, and I want to thank the wonderful people at CTKB. This morning I was on the air with their hosts and had a good time in the Toronto area talking about the show. And it was gracious of them to have us on the radio. And also, we have debuted this week in Portland, and on the 23rd, we will be on in Houston. And I have to say, and the station, by the way, in Houston is KIOL. And in Portland, it's KCMD. And I want to say that I'm not retiring. You know, the other night I got on the air and I said, hey, I'm going to be retiring in 3 months, and here's why. And I went into this story about how I hit the accelerator thinking it was the brake. In other words, isn't that what a lot of old folks do when they drive their car through the plate glass window of someone's beach house? They say, well, the accelerator's stuck. I didn't do a ding-dang thing. So that's what I was telling you. It happened. I said, I'm going to retire. Well, I got 9 million emails. I ain't retiring. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to leave the radio. And that's true even if we got that pilot that we shot picked up, Fillmore Middle, which I guess we'll hear about in a couple of days. And they'll probably say something like, it was really great, but we do want to go with the knockoff on Desperate Housewives. I'm sure you understand. Yes, we do. So I'm sure that it won't get picked up, and that's fine. It's okay. It's not negative thinking. It's realistic thinking, and I believe in reality. In a way, I admire Chris Norton's technique, although walking up to a woman and saying, you know, your face ain't cutting it, I think maybe just overstepping the case just a little bit. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. We didn't play our flashback request last hour, did we? We're going to do it this hour. We do have a flashback request from one of you guys. And if you've got something you'd like to request, just something you want us to play that you heard from a preceding show, we'd be really happy to do it for you. Just email us and we'll try and get the thang on. And I got some email here that I haven't read email in so long. This is one from Charles. Lately, I've been trying to convince some of the dunces I know to use Rudy Canosa's la-la technique on real women to no avail. Yet I was curious if you've had any bits or shorts where you've had caller guests do that. And, Charles, I'm glad you asked that question, because in just a few minutes, R.C. Collins is going to join us from Bradley Military Academy. R.C. is a young man. He's a 17-year-old junior cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And is going to be talking with us because he had emailed me and he said that he uses this technique of Rudy Canosa's. Now, I know a lot of you guys don't know what we mean by this la-la technique, but it's supposedly something that is a tradition in Argentina. And we have RC on where, bud?
I learned that, too.
All right.
I mean four.
Okay.
I mean six.
Which line is he on, man?
One.
Is he on 1, 2, 4, or 6?
No, I'm sorry. He's on 3.
Okay, let me go to 3 here. What line's he on, bud?
6.
He's on what line?
6.
He ain't on line 2 and he ain't on line 6, man. Now, what freaking line is this guy on?
Oh, all right. Oh, here it is. He's on line 8.
Is he on line 8?
I swear.
No, he ain't.
He was there a minute ago.
This RC?
No, this is Chris Norton.
Well, what are you still doing here?
Well, you brought up the beach sound effect. I guess it should be me.
Get him out of here, will you? Where is this guy, RC Collins? I'm talking to that kid.
Line 4, I swear.
That sound like he's on line 4?
What are you yelling at me for?
What a dunce.
Yeah, it's still me.
Get him out of here, will you? What in the hell, man? I've met some real dummies in my day. RC, is that you, man?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm here at the beach with Chris.
Okay, anyway.
Well, I just wanted to say that I've tried out Rudy Canosa's technique. And Mr. Canosa's joined us here at Chris's beach house, and he wants to get on the phone and say hello.
Yeah, get him on.
Hello, Phil.
How are you doing, Rudy?
Phil, I'm doing very well. I met your young friend near RC, and we decided to come down here to Joe's Crab Shack and have some crabs.
Great. And you're teaching him how to say la-la?
Well, I said to R.C., R.C., why don't you get on the extension in the kitchen?
Hi, it's me.
Okay. R.C., you know that when you see a beautiful woman, the thing you want to say to her is
la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Yeah. So you see a really good-looking woman, you go la-la.
Both of you guys suck. You know that?
Suck. Not tonight.
All right. Anyway, our number is whatever the hell it is. Forget it. Don't even call, man. I won't be able to get the callers up. For instance, there's a call right here. It says it's from Mary. What line is Mary on?
What line does it say?
It says line 2.
Go ahead.
See? She's not there, man.
6?
We don't have a line 6.
12.
We don't have a line 12. I got a line 1 through 5. Which one is it?
1.
Oh, I'm going to kill somebody. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Another email that we got here. This is another one of these Rudy things. This guy says, I hope that Rudy can sing the theme to A Man and a Woman, played for something, you know, play it in the background. A theme from A Man and a Woman. I don't know what that sounds like. We'll look that one up. Here's one loyal Backstage Pass listener. I really like your podcast utility. My favorite bit is an older one, one of the first I heard. Steve Bozell went to a 4th of July fireworks show and complained of suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome when the fireworks started to go off. He's not a veteran, but he did see Platoon and Saving Private Ryan over the weekend. He ended up, quote, losing his mud and wanted to sue, and I hope I list them all, the city for putting on the fireworks show, Steven Spielberg and Oliver Stone for directing the movies, the parking lot attendant for allowing a dog to lick his leg as he tried to leave, and Fruit of the Looms for not keeping the mud in. Greatest bit ever. Also, the greatest line from either Vernon Dozier or someone else, they were dressed up as Paris Hilton's dog to try and fool Paris so that she would take him home. Obviously, this did not work, and he had... Obviously, this did not work, and he had to walk home in his dog costume. And on the way home, and on the way went through Koreatown. The quote was, you don't know fear until you've walked on all fours through Koreatown in a dog suit. Thanks for the great work, Mike Ramsey. This one's from Valerie. You mentioned last night something about seeing grill as you were driving, so to encourage them not to tailgate, you tap your brakes. I have another suggestion, Phil. Another thing you could try that seldom causes road rage is to pull the wiper fluid switch and hold it for about 5 to 6 seconds. The spray flies over your car and gets in their windshield, then they'll have to turn their wipers on too. Do that 2 or 3 times and they almost always back off. I don't think it'll work as well on an 18-wheeler, but it's great for those self-absorbed kind who think they rule a road. Valerie, you know, it's funny. Every now and again I'll be driving and it's just as it's bone dry in the dead of just the dead of summer. And suddenly, my windshield wipers come on. Why? Some jackball just was cleaning off his windshield in front of me. You know that fluid spraying back? So there's another way of getting the guy right off your rear end. Just hit that windshield wiper switch, and it just, like, just it's everywhere. It's a real mess. And then finally, here's one from John. How can I go about getting a radio station in Austin, Texas to carry your show? I really love the show, but there are no radio stations close by to Austin that carry your show. Please help. I need my Bobby Dooley. The ass-basting for peace bit in the Middle East was fantastic. Doug Danger, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And then Lloyd Bonafide. It's a riot, John. Well, John, we do want to get on in Austin, Texas, but I had kind of an interesting thought. Do you suppose we could broadcast from the University of Texas Tower where Charles Whitman shot all those people? That's right. Hi, this is Phil. We're live from the tower at the University of Texas. Now, I would love to be on in Texas and in Houston, if only just to kind of go down there and listen to some music. And yeah, I would like to see the tower, but it's not an obsession. I just would like to walk around it and take, you know, photographs. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, why don't you love me like you used to do? How come you treat me like a worn-out shoe?
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome here. This is Earl Pants Car Talk. I'm Earl Pants, and we're going to be taking out a drive, a test drive now, in the brand spanking new Mustang convertible. Why don't we just get out of here on the street here and have ourselves a real good time right out here on the street as we drive this beautiful new Mustang. Yeah. Now, as you can see, this car operates very, very nicely. It moves in a very beautiful way. It's got nice handling. And, holy Jesus, the wind just blew my toupee off. All right, pull it over. Hold on. I see a license, please.
Officer, what's the problem? I'm on the radio right now.
I don't give a sweet Jesus.
All right. What happened?
What's on my head?
Sir, that's mine.
I know, but what is it?
That's a hairpiece.
Uh-huh. See the license.
All right. I'm on the radio right now.
I don't care what you're on. Let me see it. I want some registration to proof of insurance.
I'm sorry. Could I get my hairpiece?
No. No, I want it to sit there on my helmet for you to look at it so you know what kind of an ass you maybe look like.
Here you are.
Okay. Your license is expired. Your registration's expired. And you don't have any proof of insurance. But I'm going to let you go. Okay? But I'm keeping the hairpiece.
No, you can't do that. I've got a television spot that I got to do later. I'm keeping the hairpiece.
Now get out of here.
Come on. Car handles good.
Closer than a country mile.
All right, here's your stupid hairpiece back.
Why don't you say the thing?
Get out of here. Thank you.
Treat me like a piece of clay.
It's Earl Pants. I feel better now. I got my hair back. Thank God.
Why don't you love me like you used to do?
Earl Pants Car Talk brought to you by the University of Southern California Agriculture Department. All right, thanks a lot, Earl. That was really great. Yeah, David.
Yeah, that was really great, all right. So the whole bit was the hairpiece flying off, huh?
Yeah, that was the whole bit.
Oh, you going to get angry now?
Yeah, I'm going to get angry every time I'm on the air doing a bit. You got to critique it? Yeah, I'm getting angry.
It was good. I liked it. I like the whistle sound effect.
Thank you very much.
All right, now, as you know, the Star Wars movie is coming out pretty soon. And I have a couple of suggestions that I want to make. I know Bud has also been working with me on this film, and I think it's something that we can hopefully we can affect this stuff tonight. But I need your cooperation, okay?
Yeah, I understand.
All right. So here's what I want to do.
Okay.
Bud, you got it?
Yeah, Mr. I got it.
All right. Now, when you hear this music, I want you to make sure that you get me on the phone, okay? Now, go ahead and play it, bud. What the hell is that?
That's a siren.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, it's the Star Wars music.
All right. Then get me on the phone.
All right, you're on the phone.
Well, pretend like you're calling me.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah, David, it's Phil.
Oh, wait a minute. When this music is playing, you call me Darth Hull.
I'm Darth Hull.
What are you, some kind of a minion? What do you mean, Darth Hull?
That's my name. I'm Darth Hull. Come on. Lord Hull.
Yes, Lord Hull. What do you need?
Nothing. Just a good show. All right, and then you hang up on me and then pot the music up.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, man.
You should need to call him Lord Hull.
I never see that movie again. All right, well, thank you very much, everybody, especially you, Earl, with your hairpiece flying off. Dave Chappelle is in the Nut House. Yes, comedian Dave Chappelle has checked himself into a mental health facility in South Africa, and he's remained there since late April, according to a source close to the situation. The source said that Mr. Chappelle got to thinking about all the money that Comedy Central was handing him and realized that it was quite a bit to be giving to a black man. He then went on to say, the same source denies rumors of drug abuse. Others say, you know, why do they always say it's drug abuse? Maybe the guy just flipped his lid. Have you thought about that?
Oh, yeah, well, he's probably...
No, it doesn't necessarily mean anything other than the fact that the guy's nuts. He's nuts. I understand how you're feeling, Dave. I don't use drugs either. And yet somehow I get high every night. The same source denies rumors of drug abuse. Other sources have also told EW that the future of Chappelle's show, the hit Comedy Central series that was entering its third season, is more uncertain than the network has suggested. Comedy Central last week made a hasty announcement that the show's third season, already delayed from its planned February start, had been postponed again. The network said it remained optimistic that production could resume. The highly rated sketch series, one of the higher rated things on Comedy Central since most of the stuff they have on the air sucks, has been a huge moneymaker for Viacom, which owns Comedy Central. Most of the people at Comedy Central, whose jobs are on the line because they can't seem to put anything on the air that even a dead man would want to watch. Its second season is about to be released on DVD on the heels of first season sales that made it the top-selling television DVD in history. Thanks in part to the DVD sales, Chappelle last year netted a $50 million deal for co-writing and starring in a show. That's a hell of a great deal. And let's just say this very plainly. Viacom and Comedy Central just want Dave to be okay, okay? This doesn't have anything to do with them having $50 million invested in him. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Comedy Central has only put really one funny show on the air other than David Chappelle's show, and that's South Park. Everything else, blowing weasels. It doesn't have anything to do with that. They just want him to be okay. They care about Dave. Is he all right? Is he eating well? Does he have magazines to read? They just want him to be fine. It doesn't have anything to do with the money or his show or the fact that they're all going to lose their jobs if that show doesn't go into another season, because that means the numbers are going to plummet like the way you would, bud, if I kicked you off a cliff down at Palos Verdes.
Very violent.
Yeah. No, they just want the guy to be okay, but he's not going to be okay because he's checked into a nut wagon, all right? Now, you don't come back from that, my friend. You remember they used to say nervous breakdown? You remember that? Mr. Jones has had a nervous breakdown. I used to wonder what the hell is a nervous breakdown anyway. I used to imagine a nervous breakdown as being a guy suddenly running out onto his front lawn and screaming and clawing his face off and stuff. I had no idea what it was. And when somebody say, well, I checked myself in a nervous breakdown, what happened? I just didn't feel good. Nervous breakdown. Now we call it like an anxiety attack or schizophrenia or whatever we call it, manic depression, mania, you know, bipolar, some kind of a jive thing. But really, at the end of the day, it's just you can't take it any longer. You just can't take doing it anymore. I know how this guy feels. But Mr. Chappelle is a brilliant comic, and he is a far, far more successful individual than a lot of people. His mind works in a very complex and a very rapid way, whereas the rest of us just sort of motor through life on just dumb energy, right? I'd love to go into a nut house just to see what it's like. I wouldn't care. You can lose the keys. Doesn't matter to me. I'd have more interesting conversations in there. I just would walk around like that guy in Cuckoo's Nest with the broom, or, you know, the imaginary broom, or like an imaginary butter churner. That'd be my act. You know, you walk into those nut bins, there's always a guy playing cards with no cards, another guy talking to someone who isn't there, another guy who is doing something, and I'm wondering, what would I do? I think what I would do is I'd just have an imaginary butter churner, and I would stand there pumping my right arm up and down. So that when the doctor said something to me, I'd go, yeah, uh-huh, and I'd pump my hand up and down. Hope you get better, Mr. Chappelle. We do like your show. You're a very funny guy. You're a brilliant guy. But you're never getting out. You know it as well as I do. Yeah, when you get out, you'll probably take an axe to everybody at Comedy Central. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Darth Hull.
Well, that's what he wants.
Will you turn the siren off, you dumbass? You haven't gotten one sound effect right yet.
Talk much?
What do you mean, talk much?
You haven't got one sound effect. God, forget it works on a radio to talk. You're all messed up.
I don't need it now, do I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh. What, am I supposed to call him?
Yeah.
Jesus, this is nuts!
Hello?
Darth Hull?
Yes.
It's Phil calling.
Thank you.
What do you need, sir, Lord Hull?
Nothing.
This has been Darth Hull.
Oh, I see, and then you lock it out, huh? Kill it, will you? All right, coming up, I've got the flashback request. I wanted to mention that I taught my youngest son, I gave my youngest son his first driving lesson last week. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very honest with you. Chris is 15, and he's going to get his driver's permit. And I was very patient. I was amazed at how patient Of course, I taught our eldest guy how to drive on a stick. Poor Nick. He had to learn on this I had a 5-speed Ford Ranger truck that I taught him how to drive on. And, you know, you may say you don't want to repeat the mistakes of your father when you're talking to your own kids, but you do. You may say, I'm never going to do to my kids what my dad... I did it, though, you know. You know what? You're going to learn on a stick shift, because if you can learn how to drive a stick shift, well, you can learn it. What difference does it make he learns to drive a stick? Try driving a freaking stick in San Francisco. Good luck. Not that I hope any of them ever live there, but... If you can drive a 5-speed, you can drive it... Yeah, well, I guess you can. I mean, if you want to operate your 5-speed in a town where the hills are like 90-degree angles, even some parts of this town, any town that's got a, you know, kind of hilly streets. So, good luck burning your clutch completely out. Just...
I gotta call Mr. Hall.
For what?
Never mind.
Anyway, so I taught him how to drive... I didn't teach him how to drive. I gave him his very first driving lesson. And, yes, David.
What did you just say? Wait a minute, where's my music, bud?
Sorry.
So this is Darth Hull.
Shut up.
What did you just say?
What do you mean, what did I just say?
Driving a stick in San Francisco. Do you understand that the Federal Communications Commission...
All right, would you please, guys, give me one night of a breather from this stuff? Every night it's the FCC. We had ham, FCC. Served root beer. Nuh-uh, can't say root. I drove a stick in San Francisco, FCC. So anyway, I was amazed at how patient I was. And poor Chris, you know, I had him in an automatic. And I say poor Chris. I mean, he was doing really well. But if you teach a kid how to drive, you're suddenly taken back in your own memory of learning how to drive a car. And you remember, when I said to him, I said, what we're going to do, you know, is we're going to sit in the car. Now, the very first thing you do is you put on your seatbelt, okay? Now, check your mirrors, all right? Now, I want you to apply your foot to the brake and with the car in park, you know, turn it on, and I do all this stuff. He said, now we're going to back the car out of the driveway using your mirrors. Okay, did real good there. Now, let's take it down the street. Now, for some reason, when you tell someone hit the brakes, they don't know what that means. They can turn it on. They can steer it. They even sort of know where the gas is. But when you say, okay, hit the brakes, Chris, hit the brakes, Chris, there's a kid out in the road, hit the brake. He's like, which are the brakes? The brake, right there. Okay, good. You always want to put your foot right on his. Brake, 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 brake. So I got this whole thing with brake, 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 brake. I keep saying brake, 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 brake. Gradually gets the idea. Well, we took it up and down the street. And everything is good until a car's coming behind us. And I'm doing this thing with him, which my own father did to me, and he did to my older brother, which is, all right, you see that rock? Yeah, that's a little kid. You see that, you know, like, garbage can? Yeah, that's an old lady. All right, park between them. Now, I'm having Chris parallel park, And he hit the garbage can, so I did. And I was joking, because I remember my father was serious when he said it to me. So I was joking with Chris. I said, you just killed an old lady. An old lady's crushed. And he's like, ah! Well, sure enough, here comes this freaking car behind us. He hits the garbage can, rolls out in front of this car, and a guy nails that. I got to get out and explain to the guy that I'm teaching my kid how to drive. And fortunately, it was one of my neighbors. He wasn't too hung up about it. And I said, and besides, that garbage can that my son just hit and that you hit, that's an old lady. So he hit it, you hit it. And that old, she's dead, man. She's been hit by two cars rolling around out here in the street. The guy kind of gave me a look, got in his car, and sped away pretty fast. But, you know, so I think he did pretty good. I had him parallel park, and I had him driving up and down the street. And I would say, like, all right, go 25, now back it down to 20. Now speed it back up to 25, just to kind of get a feel of the brakes and the steering and everything. I said, every car's different. And I said, all right, now, the one thing you need to understand as a young person that you're going to have to know, and I want you to learn this and learn this very, very well. This is a bottle of beer. Now, open it up, drink it, and drive with one hand. All right. All right, let me go to the flashback request here.
1-800- This is Darth Hull. Don't ever say...
Shut up. All right, it's time now for... our flashback request, and this is from Lance. I would like to request the bit where I think it was Bobby Dooley. She said that black people should riot because Bush was elected. I laughed so hard my pants fell down and my girlfriend saw my Royal American. All right, here it is. Our flashback of Bobby saying black folks, not white folks, the black folks, on behalf of the white folks, should riot.
I wanted to make a mm-hmm. comment. Mm-hmm. I am a black woman, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. a black Republican woman mm-hmm. living in America. Mm-hmm. I am not outraged that Bush won. Mm-hmm. I am really appalled that you would make the comment that African Americans should riot. We are not that type of people. We do not live in a demographic. I do not live in an all-black neighborhood. I am educated. I probably have a better education than you do.
I graduated.
I haven't heard you say anything of any substance since you've been on the program.
Are you?
How would you like it if my African American brothers and sisters went to your neighborhood and rioted and got violent because
why
of her? You wouldn't appreciate it. You wouldn't appreciate it.
Why would they be angry with me? Why would they be angry with me? They should be angry with George Bush.
You are a bigot. I don't care if you're Democratic or Republican.
Oh my God.
You are a bigot. You are ignorant. You are saying ignorant.
Can I ask you something? Since you're a black Republican, are you a mulatto?
No, I'm not a mulatto.
Why would
I be mulatto?
Because you're Republican.
Because I'm what?
Because you said you're a Republican.
Because I said I'm a Republican, I must be half white, right? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I'm a black Republican. And there are tons of us. There are many of us.
You know, okay? Ms. Dooley, I, if I could jump in, what do you mean, is she an octoroon or a mulatto? In other words, black people can't be Republicans.
Phil, I saw the film Get on the Bus that was done by the wonderful filmmaker Spike Lee. In that movie, a black man gets on the bus as they're going to Washington for the Million Man March. He's a Republican. About 100 yards later, they throw him off the bus. It's not a common thing. And
just because Spike Lee had that in his movie, huh?
Well, God.
You may not think it is common because
weird.
You saw it in the media, but it is common, okay?
Well, it is
very common. When I go to my young Republican meetings, I am not the only minority or black person there, and I'm offended that you would say something like that.
I didn't
know. You call yourself a Democrat, and you are speaking like a bigoted racist,
well,
okay?
You need to
educate yourself,
you know,
and you need to learn about the material that you are discussing before you would go on national syndicated radio.
You know something, sister? You are really...
What do you mean,
untrue.
Sister? You're white, she's black.
She's a fellow female, so she's my sister. And I will say this...
I am no sister of yours, but go ahead.
I will say this. I think spending so much time with Republicans has bleached a lot of the white out of you, or a lot of the black out of you. And I would say that...
How do you know? Where
okay,
are you speaking
okay, so,
from?
Okay, first of all...
Were you adopted? Were you adopted, ma'am?
No, I'm not adopted.
You weren't
I was
adopted.
Raised by a very strong black woman.
You weren't adopted out to whites.
No,
I was
she
not
just said
adopted
she was...
out to whites. Why? Because I'm not saying yo, dog. That is racist, and that is horrible that you would think that all black people have to speak Ebonics, okay? There are many educated black women and men, strong black women and men, who speak more eloquently and more intelligently than even I do.
You weren't adopted.
I don't appreciate your comment saying that I would be adopted. I'm a representative of my black race. I am proud to be African American.
Were you raised in Canada?
Is that it? Oh, okay, that's it. There's Bobby Dooley with her unacceptable and utterly disgusting point of view on the world. Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve, they're talking about the election of George Bush back in November. It's a flashback request. It's the Phil Henry Show. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Our email is phs@philhenryshow.com. I am getting through our email. We had a complete cluster thing with the email, and I had to... Oh, dude. We got 400 pieces of mail that I got to kind of go through, and I've learned how to block a lot of stuff, the junk and crud. But all you cats that have been emailing us, the backstage pass accounts and stuff, I'm getting to all of that. All right, take a break. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
No, but I told you I taught my eldest son how to drive on a 5-speed. I had a Ford Ranger truck when I first met my wife Maria. I mean, our first date. I don't know. I didn't have all that much bread. I probably should have had more money than I did. I'd just gotten done working for about 2.5 years in Miami. I made a fair piece of money down there as a single guy and no state income tax in Florida. So when I finally got out to California, back home, I had this truck, and our first date was to Santa Anita. I think I've told the story. I took her out to the Santa Anita Handicap. They just had the Kentucky Derby this past weekend. It was a 50-to-1 shot that won. I forget the name of the horse, but it paid $102.30 or something. That's like a 50-to-1 on a $2 bet. It's incredible. It's impossible. But it's a great sport. It's too bad that people are deserting horse racing. They had 150,000 people for the Derby. It's a beautiful sport. Really a gorgeous sport. The horses are beautiful. The jockeys are beautiful. No, I don't mean to say beautiful.
Jesus, that's gay.
I'm kidding around, okay? I don't mean to say beautiful. Jockeys are they're great athletes. Those little guys can bench press like twice their body weight. I mean, they're strong dudes. You're talking about a guy riding a horse at I don't know how fast. I mean, he's holding on for dear life. And if you read the book Seabiscuit, by the way, the movie didn't even come close to telling the story of what it was like for jockeys before they had health insurance, before they had a jockeys union. These guys were just, I mean, they were taking the whip and beating the crap out of each other going down the stretch because every win meant money and every loss meant no money. And, you know, you were paying for your medical, you were paying for everything. Anyway, I took her out to see the cap because I grew up in Arcadia, and I had this truck, so I valet parked it. You know, it's a date. Let's take it over to the valet, honey, here at the clubhouse. Dude takes whoever valeted my truck and parked it knew how to drive a 5-speed manual. Because when I came out and I said, here's my truck, I stood there and I waited for at least a half an hour. And I said to the guy, what the hell's the story? He goes, what? Where's the guy with my car? Oh, the kid, yeah. So finally the kid comes running all the way back. This guy is getting paid to park cars for a living, and he don't know how to drive a 5-speed manual. He doesn't know how to use the clutch. He doesn't know how to use the stick shift, nothing. That always struck me as very odd. And of course, I never know. And I think the older you get, the more uncertain you are as to what is a logical way of thinking, what may be not quite logical. Is it logical to expect people to know how to drive a manual speed car? I don't know. I know there are people younger than me that know how to drive manual speed cars, but I also know that when I was teaching my kids how to drive, and I said to my son, Nick, I go, okay, I'm going to teach you on a 5-speed. He's like, what are you talking about, man? No, he drives those. I go, look, you don't want to look like some fruit. Buying one of those cars that's got the little 2, 3, 4 on it and no clutch so you can pretend. Do you really want to be one of those guys? What's really cool? It ain't cool, man, if there's no clutch. Just working the stick there on the floor with no clutch, you look like a fruit. You are on... yes, Darth Hull.
Watch the fruit stuff. This is Darth Hull. Out.
Can you let me know you're going to play that?
What?
Can you let me know you're going to play that?
I can only start playing it when Darth Hull calls.
Darth Hull, huh? So he grabs this stick, and when he's on it...
Phil, this is Darth Hull. What do you mean, grab his stick?
Will you get him out of here, and you too?
I don't want to get out of here, you. Wait a minute, go!
And take with you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I didn't even see the Derby, but Harry told me that this the horse that won came from like the back of the field to win the thing at the quarter pole, which is a lot like that famous Silky Sullivan race where it came from like 30 lengths back and won the race. But if you're ever at Santa Anita in Arcadia, California, that's my hometown, and that's where Santa Anita is, which is the greatest racetrack in the world. You got to go across the street, down the street, and across the street to the Derby, which is the bar and restaurant that George Wolf started, George the Iceman Wolf, and go in there and have a, you know, get hammered, and then drive home. I mean, I got nothing else I can tell you about that. All right, thanks very much tonight to Bill Duncey was with us, Chris Norton, Earl Pants, David G. Hall, and R.C. Collins. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.